Blog Talk Radio.
Save you before, run up through it again.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Abba Yah, in the name of thy Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon-coming King, I ask, Father, that you forgive me for my sins, that I may pray for your people through your Son, Yahushua HaMashiach. I ask, Father, that you hear my prayer and that it be acceptable to you. Thank you, Abba, for the gift of life, allowing us to see another day, allowing your people to hear the birds chirp and feel the warmth of the sun, feel the wind blow on their face. All those things that we take for granted, Abba, the beauty of this world, beautiful sky that you put up there with those wonderful clouds, Abba. Thank you for allowing us to open our eyes and see those things again. Thank you for protecting us throughout this week. Thank you for giving us the strength to overcome our obstacles and giving us the wisdom to diffuse situations, Abba. Thank you for providing for us, giving us our daily nourishment, Abba, giving us our substance that we need in this world, Abba. Thank you for leading us and protecting us, showing us which way to go. Thank you for unifying us, Abba, continuing to bring us closer as we become that tight-knit unit that you want, Abba. Thank you for healing us, continuing to heal us mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. Thank you for putting your hands on our Ema, continuing to bring her along. Thank you for blessing Kevin's hands, and he continues to take care of his mother and, from what I understand, become a very good cook. Thank you for watching that Zakin, Zakin Gary, Zakin Amin Al, as you continue to heal them and bless their families, to continue to strengthen them. Thank you for watching that our sister Chomi and our sister Danielle, as you continue to strengthen them and bless their families, to continue to strengthen them and support them. Ima Cheryl and her family, continue to strengthen them and support them. All the brothers and sisters that's out of state that may hear our voice, Abba, and know and understand that we're not perfect, but we are definitely trying to do your will, Abba. Abba, we ask that you continue to open our minds and our hearts up to your word, that you lead us and guide us through your word, and that you reveal your secrets unto us, your sons and your daughters. Give us your understanding. Give us your wisdom. And as my brother say, elevate our minds to your mind. In Yahushua's name, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with the words that were uttered with truth. Blessed be you, Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Israel his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, family. This is your brother Deuel. Magnify the Torah and make it honorable. This is the beginning of week one of a six-week journey that Abba will lead and guide us. I pray for thee. Everybody has been blessed by our brothers and that with all the lessons and the labor of love that each brother goes through to try to convey whatever Abba has put on their mind to bring to us as individuals and us collectively. You know, I pray that these things are not falling by the wayside and that we are literally growing as a family. You know, I pray that these things, as Paul said, he said, I hope my work ain't in vain. That's what Paul said, and I pray that our work is not in vain, because we're trying hard to convey these thoughts that Abba give us to you as best as we can. You know. So this is week one, and today Abba gave me the title of The Devil in the Details. And it's funny because what we're going to be talking about is deception. Okay? And it's funny how things work. A couple of weeks ago, I believe our brother Ariel sent out a picture. And what it was a woman she was sitting in front of the devil. And the devil was tied up, and she had her finger over her mouth. And, you know, and Ariel put out there, well, what does this mean? And everybody commented on it and everything. Some people said that, you know, we have control over the spirits, which is true. You know, somebody talked about a witch and everything, and which is true. Could have been all those things, you know. But what Abba showed me was that's deception in its finest, you know, because it looks a certain way. And those things have been given a certain way. And, you know, those things have been presented to the masses like this. But does it truly work like that? You know? And that's what was given to me. That's what I was thinking when I saw that picture. Fast forward a little bit, we were in class. And we were, forget which class, but we were comparing some things. And Yaka'el was speaking and everything. And Abba was showing me something. And I was going to comment. I said, Yaka'el. I said, excuse me, Aki, excuse me, Yak. And he didn't hear me. And he just kept on talking. And that was the end of class. So I took it like, okay, so Abba must not have wanted that to come out. It must have been for a lesson. So I put it together. And as I continued pondering on it, Abba gave me this lesson here. And, you know, I'm going to share with y'all as best as I can what Abba shared with me. You know, it's funny. Like I said, it's funny. The way our Father does things, you know, is very, to our mind, complicated. But in the grand scheme of things, it's quite simple, you know. It's quite simple. You're going to bring out what he wants you to bring out when he wants you to bring it out. No more, no less. You know, no more, no less. You know, and once we get past the the flesh factor, because we might feel, man, we could have brought this out, we could have talked that out. Hold up. Abba ain't want you to bring that out right then and there. You know, it reminds me of something Yaka'el said, which he was quoting what Rabbi said. He said, if you bring it all out now, what you going to talk about later? You know? And if you bring it all out now, well, then, you know, he wants you to hold on to something so he can continue building. You know, he can continue building upon the thought so you can get that complete thought. Because remember, this is a time of edifying. This is the time of building. And this is what Abba is doing with each and every one of us individually and collectively. He is building us so we will be that fully furnished warrior that he wants. You know? Back then, you know, and long ago, there was training on how to use armor. There was training on how to use your shield. There was training on how to use your sword. You know, it wasn't all lumped together. These were different trainings, different courses that a knight had to use, had to learn. You know, in order to be a proficient warrior, in order to defend the kingdom proficiently. And it's the same thing with in our military now. The way you use an M16 is not the way you use a Glock. And the way you use a Glock is not the way you use a sniper rifle, so forth and so forth. Each weapon that you use to defend is different. And you have to go through the training. Sniper training is very much different than the grunt training. You know, the ones that run, the frontliners. No, snipers, they sit back and they picking people off long distance to keep the casualties down. So the training that they have to go through to use those weapons is quite different. All right, so so let's get into the lesson. We're going to start off in the book of Matthew. All right. Matthew chapter 24, starting at verses 21. Matthew 24, starting at verse 21. And it reads, "But then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Messiah, or there, believe it not." Verse 24. "For there shall arise false messiahs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." They shall deceive the very ones that Abba handpicked himself, if it was possible. Because of the lies, the false prophets, because of the false messiahs. And it's so funny that they have this movie coming out called The Book of Clarence, talking about a false messiah and how he's... Now, it's a satire. You know, and some of you know, the brothers, we had to talk about it. I said, I want to see it. I want to see what gems are in there. You know, my brother Ariel said, that's mockery. And I agree, it is mockery. You are absolutely right. My brother Yaka, he can't stand it. I can't stand it either. I really don't like movies like that. But I want to see the gems that's in it. I want to see what was hidden in it. You know, I want to see, okay, because a lot of times when those movies come out, this is their next move. And we see it all the time. This is their next move. We see how back in the 70s, and this is what we got to understand about Satan and deception. It's about the long game. It ain't about the short game. It's about the long game. They slide that stuff in there, and it takes years. He does it exactly like Abba do. What did Abba say? I'm not going to clear out all this stuff at once. Mm-mm. Little by little, I'm going to remove this. Because I can't have that barren land. So little by little, I'm going to remove. Right? Satan does the same thing. Little by little. He sprinkled a little of this homosexuality in the 70s. A little bit more in the 80s. By 90s, it was an alternative lifestyle. 2000, it was accepted. It was a normal thing. In 2010, it then morphed into Pride Week, which went to Pride Month, and now they're trying to get the whole year. Little by little, it's about the long game with Satan. You know? So, again, if it was possible, they should have deceived the very chosen ones if it was possible. Next verse. Excuse me, y'all. And it's not going to be a very long lesson, y'all, but I would just want the wheels to turn. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting 1 through 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And it reads, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Master Yahushua HaMashiach, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that day of Messiah is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. But it's like we read what Yahushua was talking. That's going to be a rough thing. The deception is going to be so quote unquote pure that it's going to be a rough thing. We really have to use. What we say, we have to have our senses discerned. We have to exercise those senses to use that discernment to really pick out where their deception is. And look at the world now. It's so many, and we listen to so many things and so many things on the internet, right? And what we are, you always end up saying, yeah, it sounds nice, but then they went off here. It sounds good, but then they went here. The deception is real. The deception is unless you have those that unless you've been exercising that discernment. And so how do we exercise that discernment? The words say, hear all things, hold fast to that which is good. We can't shy away from these things that's coming out there. Those who cast judgment on the matter before they hear the whole thing, to them, they're fools. So we got to hear the whole thing. While one talks, let the others listen and judge. We got to hear those things. We got to pull that deception out of there. Yeah, okay, all right. Okay. And what is it? Use those things which are good to your benefit. That's what you say. Hear it all. Hold fast to that which is good. If there's something good in there, use it to your benefit. Add it to your repertoire. But then you just throw the rest away. But how are you going to do that if you don't hear it? And again, it's for our benefit. He wants us to exercise our senses. Right? So he says, verse 3 again, he says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Why? Because of deception. A falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called Elohim, or that is worshipped, so that he as Elohim, that's right, Aki, eat meat spit out bones. You are absolutely correct. Verse 4 again. Who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called Elohim, or that is worshipped, so that he as Elohim sitteth in the temple of Elohim, showing himself that he is Elohim. So somebody is going to be worshipped, thought of so much, and you know, it's so funny. That was one of the excerpts in that movie, The Book of Clarence. This man is not your Messiah. Here you go. Walk on water. Show him. Prove it to him. And they were worshiping this man as the Messiah. Says, verse 5, he says, remember ye not when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's already at work. And again, why? Because Satan plays the long game. He plants early. He dropped them seeds early. So he can get a harvest. And he cultivates them seeds. He's a really good gardener. Just like our father. He learned from the best. He says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the master shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. And with all deceivableness, any way I can deceive you, all this, I will deceive you any type of way I can. No matter how large or minute, devil in the details. No matter how large or minute, I'm going to get you. It's just like our brother, he references that movie, The Devil Advocate, our brother Yaka'el, right? And he talked about how pride can come in all these different forms. At the very end, he went back, and if you saw the movie, he went through all he went through. And it's like, you know, it's this is impossible, and this is how he deceives people. The devil then rewinded time, you know. Or, see, and then another way that you can look at it is that it was a figment of his imagination, see, because the one thing the devil can do is show you things in the blink of an eye. He can cloud your mind and show you these things and show you the glory of this world in the same way that he tempted Yahushua. They say how Satan took him up on a mountain and showed him all the glory of the world and did that. Hasatan did those things. So he has influence. And that's one thing that we cannot deny. Right? But at the end of all the, at the end of the movie, after going through all those things, and after Hasatan said, he came in the form, he came in another form. But the reporter, I need this story. I need the story. Yada, yada, yada. He said no at first, but then he gave in. All right, you got it. Well, Hasatan say, pride, my favorite thing. Don't take much. Do not take much. Verse 10 again. Excuse me, Sam. Verse 10 again. He says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. See, when you don't love this word, it's easy. When you don't hold on and cling to this word, you will get deceived. And when we say this word, it's the word that I see, that's why I'm so thankful for Allah, that he sat us at the feet of teachers who are inspired by him. King James word, you know, like the brother said in his, when he was talking, King James is the only word that we say, well, that's where you are. That's where you are. Because King James was not a prophet. King James did not receive any word from Yahweh. That's where you are. Next verse, family, is coming from the book of Romans. Romans chapter 14, verses 11 through 23. Romans 14, 11 through 23. And it's written, and it reads, and it's written because I'm looking at the words, boy, it's written. But, and it reads, it says, for it is written, as I liveth, saith Yahweh, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to Elohim. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to Elohim, or to Yah. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, But judge this, rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Do not judge your brother. That's what he said. Let us not judge our brother anymore. But what he said we should judge is ourselves to see if we are a stumbling block to our brother. Ain't that something? Stop looking at what your brother is doing and start looking at yourself to see if you are a hindrance with your brother. Now, you pair that with what Yahushua said. Look, if your brother, you got up with your brother, or if you bring it, one, if you got up with a brother, go settle it. One, and two, if he, because these are two different things. The first time he said, if you have up with your brother, don't you let the sun go down on your problems, right? But then he said, if you got a present and you bring your korban, your present, your offering over to this to give the Abba, and you remember that your brother got an issue with you or you got an issue with your brother, leave it and you go settle that issue. Don't be a stumbling block to your brother. Absolutely no reason for brothers not to be talking to one another, for issues to be happening within the body of Mashiach. There should be absolutely nothing that we can't talk about. And when that happens, then we are working within the workings of the flesh, and that is not supposed to be going on. So he says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Obviously, it was going on back then. 2,000 years later, it's going on now. When is it going to stop? Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Don't set your brother up. I mean, let's be real. We ought to know, and this is something that I believe, I know my brother, I know Sheba L. This is one of his pet peeves. I know he said it, but somebody actually taught about this, how we're not as close as we should be. We're not knowing one another how we should know. We ought to know what irritates, the same way you know what irritates your wife, your spouse. You ought to know what irritates your brother. You ought to know what mood they in. You can tell what mood they in. Like, wait a minute. That was a little aggressive. Maybe you need time to settle down. I'm not mad at you, but, you know, maybe you got something going on. Pay attention to your brothers. Pay attention to your sisters. You okay? And when you do, don't be overly sensitive with it. You know, don't be, and when I say overly sensitive, like, you know, just because you're overly sensitive. You taking it, the little snap, because the snap ain't towards you. A lot of times they got things going on in their mind. You never know. Like, I'm so proud of my brother. He don't know how proud of him, and he know what I'm talking about. When he finally let go, let it go, and let us know. Let us help carry your burden, or both of my brothers. Let them burdens go. We learned a long time ago, our brother Ahabel told us with the word Acme, strong wall. What does a wall do? Support.
It supports the house. That's what we are supposed to be. You, Aki, my strong wall. You are my strong support. We're supposed to be leaning on one another. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And how can we lean on one another if we don't know one another? You don't want to lean on that brother because you're afraid of them judging you and this, that, and another. And you're afraid of them judging you to 9 times out of 10 because at some point they did. And never made amends for it. It was never an end to it. And it's not that, and look, excuse me. Mistakes are going to happen. Bad choices are going to happen. And both of those things are going to happen within the body of Mashiach. The problem is that we don't want to admit when we make a mistake. We don't want to admit when we make a bad choice. And so it continues. We need to put an end to that. He says, forgive your brother as you want to be forgiven. If you can't forgive your brother here on earth, I'm not going to forgive you in front of those angels. I'm not going to forgive you in front of my Father. If you can't show mercy here on earth, you shall get no mercy. And I don't care how righteous you think you are, you need Abba's mercy. He said the righteous shall scarcely make it in. And I don't care. There's not a living soul on this planet right now that is on the level of Abraham and his obedience and his faith. And he barely making it in. Paul barely making it in. Isaiah barely making it in. Not that we should compare ourselves to them. See, but we got to stop this, y'all. We got to be right within the word of within the body. Within the body. And I don't care. I'm not worried. And I've said this before, and I stand by it. I don't care what ISUPK is doing. I don't care what the Great Millstone or any other Israelite camp is doing. None of my business. I'm not responsible for that. I'm responsible for this house. I'm one of the leaders of a particular house of Yahweh. Our battle, our standard, our banner is different. No leader of the standard of Judah could go over to the leader of the standard of Benjamin and boss them around. Two different houses. Even though all of them ought to be doing the same thing. But the leaders of Judah were responsible for the leaders of Judah. And the leaders of Benjamin was responsible for the leaders of Benjamin. Verse 13 says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block on the occasion to fall in his brother's way. Verse 14, he says, I know and am persuaded by the Master Yahushua that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Verse 15, he says, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, not in love,
right? Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Mashiach died. Look out for your brother. You got an occasion, your brother did something, and you know, and it's talking about those things, being respectful and being responsible and not putting a stumbling block or an occasion to fall for your brother. Loving your brother more than you love you. Wanting your brother to get where you are. As Yaquel said, man, you cannot expect somebody who's been walking this way for 20 years a year to do the things and have the understanding of a person who's been walking for 20 years. That's inconceivable. You can't lay those burdens. You can't lay the burdens of a 20-year-old on a 1-year-old. You can't do it. Verse 16, he says, let not then your good be evil spoken of. Why? Because they don't get it. It's a stumbling block to them. It's a stumbling block to them. Yes, you have these freedoms. I remember we were talking, it was Sukkot, and it was a young couple out there a long time ago. They came out there. They was from Delaware, I think, or somewhere out of town or whatever. But they decided to do Sukkot out where we were at, and they were Israelites. And we were talking this, that, and we invited them over and everything, had nice talks and everything. But they was young in the faith. You know, they were real young in the faith. No, they were really, orthodox in nature. You know, because he got to talking about how cheese is made and bathing a kid in his mother's milk and this, that, and another, which it was a whole bunch of stuff, but they did not understand their freedoms. You know? So hey, we accommodated them. We accommodated. We didn't want to place a stumbling block in front of them. You know, when our brother Shaddai first came around, we didn't know if he drunk or not. We wasn't trying to place a stumbling block in front of him. I mean, he caught us. Our brother caught us. Excuse me, but we wasn't trying to place a stumbling block in front of that brother, too. You know, it was like, okay, all right. Yeah, I drink too. You know, but it's about loving your brother and trying to get them to where you are. Right? He says, where am I? Oh, verse 16. Verse 16 again. He says, let not then your good be evil spoken of, because you're not doing anything wrong. But because they don't have that understanding yet, they're going to speak evil of you. All right? Verse 17, for the kingdom of Yah is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he that in these things serveth Messiah is acceptable to Yah and approved of men. Ain't about what you're eating and drinking and this, that, and no. Okay, cool. It's, are you righteous? Are you doing right by men? Because if you ain't doing right by men, it don't matter if you clean or not. It's not acceptable to Messiah. If you eat kosher, if you follow every food law and you treat your brother bad, you're missing the point. Again, he says, for he that in these things serves as Messiah is acceptable to Yah and approved by men. approved in men. Verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify one another. One may edify another. Excuse me. Right? For meat destroy not the word of Elohim. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. See? You're not doing nothing wrong, but in the eyes of that man, you're not doing anything wrong, right? But if you chopping down that steak in front of a guy or a believer who said, no, you ain't supposed to eat meat. Now you're causing an offense for your brother. Until your brother comes to the understanding that meat is okay. You don't do that in front of them. He says, verse 21, it says, it is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby. Okay. All right. Excuse me. Our brother, I'm gonna read that just in case. It says, "Where'd it go?" Oh, okay. Brother Sheva, I said, I didn't drink back then because I was told it was a sin. I was trying to be a good Christian. Glad when I found out that it wasn't true. I didn't have a drink since May 31st, 2002. So I met Beth Yahweh. I had my first drink December 2007. The kind, so the I came. So, again, and there's no scripture that says drinking is a sin. But he was deceived. And until he researched it and this, that, and another, then he found out it was cool. Okay, I can have a sip. Now, you don't abuse it. You know, you don't wake up in the morning and the first place you hear is the bar. You don't do that. You know, you don't brush your teeth and put on your sweatpants, run down to the bar. Don't do that. But let everything be decent, be done decently and in order. That's how Abba accepts things, all right? He says, verse 21 again, he says, it is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Have love for your brother, right? Have love for your brother. Says 23 says, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before Elohim, before Yah. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he allows. You understand that? Just because you have freedom, just because you have faith, and just because you can do this thing which Abba allows, don't condemn your brother and don't condemn you, because you are you. Oh man, it's going to be on you when you cause that brother to stumble. You're placing the stumbling block, and if you don't believe me, go back in Devarim. Go back in Devarim. And it talks about those who make pits for your brothers to fall in and those who put stumbling blocks in front of the blind. And whose fault is it? It falls on you because you know better. All right? So, excuse me, he says, have thou faith, have it to thyself before Yah. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. 23, he says, and he that doubteth is damned. You hear that? He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatsoever you do, that if you're not sure, you're not sure about it, don't do it. You understand? And remember this verse, because we're going to hear it again probably next week. All right? So again, this is about deception. All right? Deception. And having those senses exercised. Now we're going to look at, we're going to look at two people within the word, right? Two people. And as we were taught, one of the ways that we learn this word is by comparing. Now, I want y'all to listen to the descriptions of these two individuals, and I want you to compare them. I'm going to go down the list, right? And we're going to see something, right? And if I miss anything, y'all just put it out on the line, all right? The first person, whoops, that's the wrong button. Right, we're going to start off in 1 Samuel chapter 16. We're going to read the whole chapter. 1 Samuel, 1 Shemuel 16. And it reads, and Yahweh said unto Shemuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, Shaul, seeing I had rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse or your seed. Wait a minute, did I say it right? Or Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And Yahweh said, take an heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to Yahweh. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and you shall anoint unto him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which Yahweh spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peacefully? See, prophet came to town, the first thing they want to know, are we in trouble? Thing they want to know. You coming in peace? You bringing that shalom out from the man of God? That's the first thing they want to know. Verse 5, he says, and he said, peacefully, I've come to sacrifice unto Yahweh. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, surely Yahweh's anointed is before him. So he looked at Eliab the first time. Excuse me for a second, fam. Get a sip. Sorry about that, fam. So he looked at Eliab. He saw Eliab.
And exactly, he was so sure, right? He was sure. He said, surely Yahweh's anointed is before me. But Yahweh said, verse 7, for Yahweh says unto Samuel, look not at his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For Yahweh seeth not as a man sees. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but Yahweh looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has Yahweh chosen him. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass, and he said, neither has Yahweh chosen this. Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Yahweh has not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down until he come hither. Look, we got to put the end to this. Yahweh then rejected all your sons. You got one left. Come on, man. Go get him. We ain't stopping now. We ain't going to rest till it's done. Right? Verse 12. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance. Keep that in mind. Goodly to look at. And Yahweh said, arise, anoint him, for this is he, anoint him. Keep that in mind. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the spirit of Yahweh came upon David, Dawid, from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the spirit of Yahweh departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from Yahweh troubled him. And Saul's servant said, forgive me, family, I got a lisp. And it's hard for me to say those S words, and I got 3 of them back to back. And Saul's servants said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from Elohim troubleth thee. Let our master now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is cunning, who is a cunning player on a harp. Keep that in mind. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from Elohim is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning and playing. And he is cunning and plain, and a mighty valiant man, keep that in mind, and a man of war, keep that in mind, and prudent in matters, meaning he's smart, keep that in mind, and a comely person, again, talking about how good he looks, and Yahweh is with him. Verse 19. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David, thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took a donkey laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David, his son, unto Saul. And David came to Saul and said before
and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Let David, I pray thee, for he has found favor in my sight." And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from Elohim was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Right? Now, one guy was to be looked at, our brother, the King David, our brother. And we heard some of all the things of the way that the word describes him. Deception, y'all, remember what we're talking about. We're going to compare that to this other dude that the Bible talks about, right? And we go into the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28. And we're going to read that whole chapter. And listen, y'all. Those who read Ezekiel 28 know who this is referring to, right? Pay attention. See how similar these things are. Ezekiel 28, it says, "The word of Yahweh came again to me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the master Yahweh, because thy heart is lifted up, and you have said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of mighty one in the midst of the seas. Yet you are a man and not Elohim, though thou set thine heart as the heart of Elohim. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel." So he's smart. "Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee." Verse 4. "With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, you have gotten thee riches and have gotten gold and silver into thy treasures." Right? We all know David became a ruler at one point. Right? This entity says he's a mighty one. He's a ruler. They describe David as a valiant man. He says, "With thy wisdom and with thy understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures." Verse 5. Oh, man. One second. Sorry about that, y'all. My son called and I hit the wrong button and disconnected. All right. You know, it's great to have one of the best DJs ever working switchboards for me. again, sorry about that thing. I tried to hit reject his call and I just cut everything off. Again, it says verse 4, it says, "With thy wisdom and with thy understanding, that's that thou hast gotten thee riches and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures." Great wisdom, and by thy traffic, hast thou increased thy riches, and thy heart is lifted up because of thine riches. Right? "Therefore, thus saith the Master Yahweh, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of Elohim, behold, Therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am Elohim? But thou shalt be a man and know my word in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Master Yahweh. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation against the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Master Yahweh, Thou sealest up the sun, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. So again, talking constantly about how smart this entity is. Right? Then he talks about how beautiful he is. He's good looking. So, and again, for those who have not read Ezekiel chapter 23, let the cat out the bag. Talking about the devil. Talking about Hasatan. Right? He's saying, you're beautiful. And this is Abba talking. You were beautiful to look at. You're a good looking dude. You're smart. You're rich. You got power. You know, like a king. You want to be the top dog. See, the top dog on earth is a king. He said, "You want to be a mighty one? Okay, you're a mighty one." He says, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, Thus saith the Master Yahweh." Thou sealest up the sun, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of Elohim. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in the day that thou was created. He was a musician. The tabrets as a tambourine. He played music. The pipes was more like a flute or organ. It's like, the organs of a pipe, the pipes of an organ. More like a flute. Clarinet or something like that. He was a musician. Right? He says, pipes was prepared in the day that thou was created. Verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherubim. He's anointed also. Right? Thou art the anointed cherubim that covereth, and I have set thee so. Right? Thou wast upon the holy mountain of Elohim. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Now think about this, y'all. The Saul wanted David and anointed to come stand before him. Right? Think about the position that Satan held. He was standing before a king also. Right? An anointed cherub. He was standing before a king also. Verse 15. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. Devil in the details. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I cast thee as profane out of the mountain of Elohim, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, O from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. See the difference? See the difference? Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom. See the difference? By reason of thy brightness, I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings. Not standing for kings. I'm going to lay you down for the king. That they may behold thee. Excuse me. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries. He had sanctuaries. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee. And I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth and the sight of them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Again the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Edom and prophesy against it. And say, verse 22, and say, thus saith the Master Yahweh, behold, I am against thee, O Zidon, and I will be glorified in the midst of thee. And they shall know that I am Yahweh when I have executed judgments in her and shall be sanctified in her. For I will send into her pestilence and blood into her streets. And the wounded shall be judged in the midst of her by the sword upon her on every side. And they shall know that I am Yahweh. And there shall be no more pricking bear briar unto the house of Israel, nor any grieving thorn of all that are round about them that despises them. And they shall know that I am the Master Yahweh. Thus saith the Master Yahweh. When I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen, then shall they dwell in their land that I have given to my servant Jacob. Can I read that again? Thus saith the Master Yahweh. When I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen, then shall they dwell in their land that I have given to my servant Jacob. Then and only then. Verse 26. And they shall dwell safely. And they shall dwell safely. We ain't got to worry about nobody kicking us out of that land again. And they shall dwell safely therein, and shall build houses and plant vineyards. Yea, they shall dwell with confidence when I have executed judgment upon all those that despise them round about them. And they shall know that I am the Master Yahweh. I am Yahweh, their mighty one. Excuse me. All right? So, family, we see the similarities between Satan, Hillel, and Dawid. Very similar. They were described very similarly, right? A lot of the attributes
that David had, that Yahweh loved, was also found in Satan. But just, he ended up corrupting those things. Satan did. The enemy did. A couple of weeks ago, even last week the week before, I think it's, it was even last week or a couple of weeks ago, you know, our brother sent out a message asking us, how are we about our confidence in our salvation? Are we sure that we're saved? And if you are, how do you know? And he sent it out there so we know. See, this deception is a real thing, fam. It's a real thing. We have to constantly be on our evaluating ourselves and looking at ourselves, looking in that mirror. Constantly being aware and constantly making the necessary changes. Because at the end of the day, we are all striving to hear that one thing, well done, my good and faithful servant. We are all looking to scarcely get in, as the words say. Scarcely make it. So we have to constantly look at ourselves, look at what we do, and make sure that we are not deceived at any point. And if we are deceived, find that deception out. Right? Because the words say, if it was possible, if we have issues, and again, y'all, can't be stressed enough. Got issues with anything, there's anything you don't understand, please ask questions. Please. We are talking about your true life and true death. This ain't the real thing. Yeah, we're going to suffer here. We're going to, you know, we're going to have joys and we're going to have pains here. All that is true. The trueness of this walk and the trueness of life is what comes afterwards. The trueness of death is what comes afterwards. All right? So family, just be shored up and you know, don't be afraid to hear things. Hear things, y'all. Please, don't be afraid to hear things. If you have a question, ask it, though. You know, don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be, you know, you can approach any of us, any brother, any sister, any, you know, anybody, any elder, all right? And we'll answer the question. Again, all the line is always open, you know, and anytime, put them out there, y'all. There's no need not to know. There's no need to live in confusion or think something that is not true. All right, so that's the end of this of week one, and I hope y'all hope y'all learned something. You know, I pray that Abba move upon your hearts, move upon your spirits to lead and guide you. You know, all of us, you know, examine ourselves like we're supposed to.
you know, to see if we are in that faith, in his faith. So now we're going to close out. And again, if y'all have any questions, put them on the line, y'all. All right? Blessed are you, Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin, unfulfilled. But you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed be you, Yahushua, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all his words. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Abba Yah, in the name of thy son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon-coming King, Abba, come again before you, Abba, give you praise, glory, and honor, thanking you for this time that you set apart for us, the Shabbat day, thanking you, Abba, for relieving us of our burdens, of our troubles, Abba. Thank you for opening your ear to us and hearing our prayers and our supplications, Abba, and thanking you for being there for us in every way imaginable, comforting us, answering our questions, relieving our doubts, showing yourself unto us countless times, Abba. Just ask that you continue to increase our faith and that you continue to reveal your word to us and continue to grow your spirit within us. And Abba, continue to allow us to grow closer together and become the unit, become the men and the women, the sons and the daughters that you so desire, Abba. Abba, protect our brother Abram as he goes through his ordeal. Protect our sisters and our brothers as they travel. Protect the little ones. Protect all of Israel. Impart your spirit upon our brother Yahrael as he brings forth your word. Empty him out. Put your word within him and let him edify us, Abba. Abba, allow us to continue to grow, continue to heal, Abba, mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Once again, keep your hand on all of Israel. When we cry out to you, Abba, hear our prayers. Look down on us for compassion and your grace and your kindness, Abba. And do your goodwill onto us, Abba. Thank you for sending your son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon-coming King, to be that sacrifice for us and to bring us to you. In Yahushua's name, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Shabbat shalom, family. Da 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 da
the discipline from the scriptures and check your spirit. Be diligent, never fear it. The fire will make you purer. Be a doer, not just a hearer. Living in a pitiful error. Straight from the laws and not just suicidal error. Get your mind right before the hour of terror. Procrastinate and be destroyed in your security. To save your life, you need to eat eggs and my ears. Sometimes I try to justify my sin, but no excuses will be heard in the end. Sometimes I try to justify my sin, but no excuses will be heard in the end.